WBUR Boston. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Kevin Olusola was racking up the accolades as a young classical musician, named best young artist in the state of Kentucky, played cello and saxophone in Carnegie Hall. But he was drawn to beatboxing, hip-hop and pop, so he combined them, cello and beatboxing, together. You can hear some of it right behind us here. He threw some beats, bowed his cello, and stepped into a new world, a hip-hop classical fusion. The internet has gone wild for it. It's been a whirlwind ever since. This hour on Point, Kevin Olusola, beatbox cellist and rising star. You can join the conversation. Are you ready for this? Have you seen the viral video of Kevin Olusola's beatbox cello performance? What do you hear? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Dona Nobis Pacem behind us right here. This was what Kevin Olusola submitted, this variation on it, for the 2009 Celebrate and Collaborate Challenge with Yo-Yo Ma competition. He was chosen as runner-up out of 400 competitors there. Yo-Yo Ma called this piece inventive and unexpected. You can hear the beatboxing, the kind of percussion over the cello. He's doing both at the same time in this great classic, Grant Us Peace, Dona Nobis Pacem. Beautiful. Joining us right now from Culver City, California is Kevin Olusola. He's 23, a beatboxing cellist and beatboxer for the a cappella group Pentatonix, grand prize winners of the 2011 season of NBC's The Sing-Off. Yo-Yo Ma's honored his music, called it inventive and unexpected. He's open for rappers KRS-One and Drake. He's got his instruments, his cello, and his percussive voice in the studio with him in California for us today. Kevin Olusola, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, Tom. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. You are making waves, my friend, and I've got you on Skype here just to the side, so I see you there in your sweater and flannel shirt and blue jeans and that big old cello right between your knees.
Hey, what's up, Tom? How you doing, man?
I'm doing fine. Now, I'm trying to figure out, when we hear you playing right there in Dona Nobis Pacem, it is clear how beautiful this can be when it rolls together. But a lot of kids who get put on the classical track are not exactly invited to hop off and introduce beatboxing or hip-hop elements into their music. How did you end up with both of these things going on?
Well, you know, I mean, I've played cello since I was about 6 years old and something I absolutely love to do. And then the beatboxing, I've kind of like always done throughout my lifetime. And it was actually the summer I was in China that I decided to put the two together. It was the summer during my sophomore year. I was studying at the Harvard Beijing Academy, studying intensive Chinese. Mm-hmm. And you're studying Chinese all day long. And you're like, you know what? Let me just play some cello. And, you know, for some reason, it just hit me like randomly. Hey, why don't we try to put the two together? It was literally a random thought. And I liked it. And it was very rudimentary. But, you know, since then, I've just kind of been trying to develop it slowly yet surely. And, you know, I think it's
coming along.
It's gotten me to where, it's getting me to where I am right now. So I'm excited. Thank you.
It is. It's putting some infrastructure under you, I would say, step by step. We're going to hear these two together, the cello and the beatboxing. But let's get into the beatboxing part first. I mean, you've had all kinds of accolades on the cello side, the classical side, but no small attention on the beatbox side as well. I used to beatbox in rap battles in public high school back in Kentucky, went off to the Phillips Andover Academy in Andover, Massachusetts, got in the a cappella group there. Give us a little sense of, you know, little sound of your beatboxing on its own, if you would, Kevin.
Oh, goodness. Okay, sure. I'll try a little something.
Tell us about it. Is there a theme to this, or are you just riffing, or do you plot this out in advance? Give us a little intro here.
Right, I'm just going to do something and see what happens. I don't have any really planned. So, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, why not? Let's go.
I love it. Kevin Alusel in Culver City, California. And I see you right there doing it, cello between your knees. We're not hearing from that yet. And we're listening to all that texture. And I'm thinking about all those classical conductors and maestros and classical music teachers fainted, lying with batons on their chest. How do they respond when you roll out your beatbox side, your beatbox talent, Kevin? Is it seen as the, you know, like, oh, no, there's aliens in the house?
You know, I think when I first started doing it, I remember I did it for my orchestra conductor, and he was like, what the heck are you doing? That's weird. And then, I mean, when I finally put structure into it, like, for example, doing it with Giulio, I think, you know, and trying to make the two parts musical together, then I think people started understanding what the combination could be like, and they started to embrace it. And so I'm thankful that people are definitely starting to embrace it, because I want to do a lot more of it in the future. So
you've taken it into realms where it is very rarely heard, but you've also taken it where people know it very well. In the whole a cappella world, there's always, it seems, somebody in the a cappella group who's doing this. But you've taken that also to a really big stage with the Pentatonix, this group out of Texas. They brought you in. They went on NBC's the Sing-Off and scored like crazy. Let's listen to a little bit of that. Here's Kevin Alusala's beatboxing along with Pentatonix, and this is Somebody That I Used to Know. Somebody That I Used to Know. That's the latest release from the five-person a cappella group Pentatonix. That includes Kevin Alusel. He does the beatboxing. You hear it loud and clear there. This piece was uploaded last week to YouTube. It's already been viewed over 430,000 times. There's something people love about this. We know that, Kevin. You know, you guys won in the Sing-Off on NBC. What do you think set Pentatonix apart? There's so much competition in a show like that. What set them at the top?
Yeah, I think what we tried to do was do something very fresh and different, really. You know, my style, for example, of beatboxing, I think, is a little bit different from most a cappella people that I've met, in that I try to add a lot of sounds of hip-hop, and then I'm really now into this kind of dubstep electronic music scene, and all of us are into that, and so we try to add those elements into it, and so it's kind of much more grittier, a lot more for the percussion side, especially a lot more guttural, and so you know, adding those kind of elements, I think, brought something that people had never seen before, and it was musical, and I think also very compelling, and so I think that's what really helped us get to this top, and also just trying to be very consistent every week. That's the hard thing with these competitions, especially when you're going for, you know, long weeks, you know, and your voice gets tired. And
I heard that you were thrown in with this group just a couple of days before you began performing with them. What was that like?
It was crazy. I mean, they contacted me after they saw Giulio. At the time, it was kind of going viral, and they said, hey,
the YouTube
come
sensation,
with us.
1.3 million views of this, of you doing Giulio. We'll hear that online. And they just saw it and said, come on down.
Yeah. And then, you know, the day we had one rehearsal the day before the audition, and it was crazy, but almost like magic, too, because when we got together, although we didn't understand each other very well, there was a certain musical synergy that we had that I personally had never really experienced before. And I thought, and I realized, this is something I need to do. I want to be part of this. I want to create something new with these amazingly talented musicians. And so, you know, that's what we did, and I'm thankful.
I'm listening to the range of things that you now have your fingers in. I mean, never mind Chinese. We'll talk about that, how the Chinese spoke to your bow, spoke to your cello, speaks to us. But you've got a little hand in hip-hop and beatbox and a cappella and still in classical at the same time. Where that combination goes or whether you can hold it all together is a really interesting question to me. And we're going to explore that and the talent of Kevin Alusela in this hour. Kevin, stand by there in Culver City. It's great to have you in the studio. We're going to hear a lot more. Listeners, you can join us this hour. Can you picture beatboxing and the cello together, cello boxing? Is that exciting? Is that a bridge too far? What's your question for Kevin Alusela on how he does the beatboxing, how he does the fusion? Are you one of the 1.3 million viewers of Kevin Alusela and Giulio on YouTube? You can join us at 800-423-8255, 800-423-8255. 423-TALK. Here's Dog Days Are Over from Pentatonix, his a cappella group. We'll have a lot more from Kevin Lusla in just a minute. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Except everything you had and what was left after that too.
Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour with the young beatboxing cellist Kevin Olusola, the breakout prodigy fusing hip-hop and classical and more. Kevin Olusola joins us from Culver City, California today. He's in the studio there. We've got him on our Skype, and he is at the ready with his cello and a whole lot more on that front as well. This is Shoulda Known behind us right here. This is Kevin improvising on his cello in a jam with fellow YouTube hit musicians Jake Brune and Frank Sacramone in Shoulda Known, original song by Jake Brune. And you can hear the fun they're having. A lot of people have really piled on to see and listen to what's going on. I should say, at our website, onpointradio.org, you can see Kevin performing Julie O, his YouTube hit, 1.3 million views. You can see him with the Pentatonix, big winners on NBC's The Sing-Off. You can hear him riffing, see him on Michael Jackson's Smooth Criminal. It's all really worth checking out. And you can join us right here. What's the effect when beatboxing and cello get together? And will Kevin Olusola bring more kids to classical or send classical kids out boxing, out to pop jazz beyond? We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Kevin, we've got a lot of response online here. Let me share some with you. Inigo Jones says, I was prepared not to like this, but I was wrong. So there's one vote here. Chris, listening to your live performance, we'll hear another in just a second, says, you've got to be kidding me. That in-studio performance was mind-blowing. Drum and bass has just found its replacement. I'm beyond sold. Glenn says, this is very cool stuff. This is what music is all about. Creativity, using different takes on the same thing. Awesome. That creativity comes through loud and clear. I mean, you're really in the zone these days. You've got both of these things going. Did it ever seem to you like just too much to put together, Kevin, or not?
Well, firstly, I just want to tell everybody, thank you so much. That's very humbling to hear that. And that really keeps me going. That was really
good.
Thank you so much. It did. When I first decided to try to put the two together, I mean, when I first did it, it was a task because I didn't know if putting these two things together could be very cool or would it be, you know, would I fall flat on my feet or could I make something musical out of it? And so, you know, right now, even now I'm working on an original piece and, you know, I'm still going through the same motions, you know, it's like, can I make this what I really hear in my head? And, you know, that's why I love music is because it's that pursuit for this perfection that sometimes, you know, you're never going to get, but it's the pursuit that I absolutely love, and it's the journey that I love.
I mean, it makes
me. And I'm just going to keep working on it.
It makes me think sometimes, you know, in some of the old movies, they show the guy who's got, like, the drum and cymbals on his knees, and he's got a harmonica in his mouth, and he's got 16 different instruments he's trying to play at one time. I mean, I watch you playing the cello, doing the beatboxing at the same time, and your cello playing is no mean feat in itself. It's very nuanced. It's very sensitive. But then on top of that, you layer this percussion. So, I mean, I watch your hands and the bow and the strings. They're working hard and look like they could be fully occupied all on their own. Did you have to knock down some wall of perception to allow the percussion to be there at the same time, or was it just natural?
No, very much not natural. It took me a good amount of time to really feel comfortable with this piece. And yeah, definitely had to knock down ideas of perception, you know, and it was, yeah, it just took a lot of time mainly. And so, you know, but anything that's new, I guess, is worth fighting for in a sense and just taking the time to make it work. So
tell us about the piece Julie O. This is the one has become such a big hit on YouTube, 1.3 million views at this point. And it's you and your cello. You're sitting, I don't know where it is. It's a big like bulletin board behind you with all kinds of photos and stuff tacked up on it. And you just take off on this. Where'd this piece come from? Tell us about it.
It was a piece written by Mark Sommer, who is the cellist of the Turtle Island String Quartet.
Jazz cellist, yeah.
Yeah, he's a huge inspiration to me because he does things on the cello that I really want to do, and I've learned a little bit from. And, you know, I thought it was a piece that always had groove and spunk, but I know when I heard it when I was younger, I didn't think I had that because, you know, I'm a classical player. But, you know, I just went for it and tried my best, and that's kind of what happened with this kind of new thing that I've been doing with it.
Well, let's listen. This will be live from Culver City, California, where we've got Kevin Alusala and his cello and his percussive voice with his version of Julio.
Thank you.
Live performance for you from On Point, from Kevin Olusola with Mark Summers, jazz cellist Mark Summers, Julie O, like it had never been played before. 1.3 million views on YouTube already. He's playing for us live today from Culver City, California, and we have a lot of people hitting the phones. Patty in Sudbury, Massachusetts, you're on the air with Kevin Olusola.
Hi. Okay, on my way home just now, I heard that you were introducing this guest, and this piece was playing in the background. I almost drove off the road. This, Kevin, you are absolutely amazing. I got home. I emailed my son's former cello teacher and his current cello teacher, and I said, you have to turn this show on. My son is playing Julie O for his recital in March. He doesn't play it like Kevin does, but it's... I love the fact that my son loves this type of cello music. You know, it was sort of out of the blue that he's playing this piece. There has to be more of this kind of music for teenage kids who are cellists to grab hold of.
I can only imagine that it can only make it more appealing, Patty. Kevin, are you trying to speak to young players here? Do you think this is the way things are going to roll, or are you a one-off?
I really do want to speak to a new generation of musicians that, you know, I mean, I love classical music, but, you know, the thing that scares me is that so many people see classical music as irrelevant. And so I want to do something that shows people classical music is not irrelevant. It's an amazing thing, but we have to, I think, package it in a new way so that people see the relevance and see what's so amazing about this music that's been around for so long. And so I'm really happy that, you know, anything that I can do to make that happen, I'll definitely do my best.
Patty, do not drive off the road, and good luck to your son with Julio. Let's go to Colchester, Vermont, and Michael. Michael, thanks for calling. You're on with Kevin Olusola.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
You all just kind of spoke to my point of how important what Kevin is doing is to sustaining classical music as an important part of music in general. And I think this kind of fusion makes the classical music, especially stringed instruments, more accessible to younger people, especially traditionally marginalized groups that maybe kind of saw classical music and stringed instruments as this kind of European white inaccessible construction, and this really kind of this fusion really helps make that music so much more accessible.
Michael, what do you say to purists?
How much I appreciate that.
We hear the appreciation, but what do you say to purists who might say, "Don't lay all that percussion on top of the beautiful string sound"?
Well, you know, I grew up in Cleveland and was a classically trained violinist, and I played with the Contemporary Youth Orchestra. And so I was fortunate enough to kind of grow up in a musical environment that was all about melding classical music with other forms of artistry. And so, you know, I grew up playing with lit pieces by modern composers like Joan Tower, and this orchestra continues to do really kind of progressive stuff with like African drums and really just kind of speaking to all the different kinds of music and how much classical can meld well. I think it melding the two elevates the music. Certainly there's traditional like Tchaikovsky and Dvorak and it's beautiful music, but I think it's all part of making the music accessible is that it's constantly evolving.
So you're there and you're ready to go. We're talking, thank you for your call, Michael. We're talking with Kevin Olusola. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Let me get Sarah in McMinnville, Tennessee. Sarah, thanks. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I am a classical flutist, and I see, similar to his cello music with beatboxing, is beatboxing added to the flute now. And it started with the YouTube sensations doing that. And I just wonder how he feels about the training. As a flutist that's finished my formal training, I see pieces coming out now that incorporate all these beatboxing techniques into it that I am not familiar with. And to stay relevant, I need to be able to do that. And I just wondered what he thought about the future of training, if he thought that it's going to have to be introduced at a young age into college programs.
Yeah, we'll put it to Kevin. That's an amazing thought. What do you think, Kevin? They're going to have to add a new wing to the music academy so the flutists can beatbox too?
That would be amazing. Yes. I mean, beatboxing is not something that people have ever really trained in, you know.
Yeah.
But I think now there seems to be a school of beatboxing that's being created online, especially if you go to www.humanbeatbox.com.
Yeah.
You can learn a lot of techniques. And so I think, you know, I definitely think it's something that people, when they're young, it should be introduced to them, and then they can take it and run with it if they see fit. But I mean, these guys, I agree with that because, you know, beatboxing is something that I've done from a young age, and I think, and Greg also has done from a pretty young age, I believe. And so, you know, it's something that we've kind of developed our own styles, and that's how our styles have been kind of fused with our classical training.
Sarah, thanks for your call. Talk about take it and run with it. Kevin took a leave of absence from college. He was at Yale, spent a year and a half in China studying Chinese, also appeared on Chinese television a few times and performed in Beijing's television's Chinese New Year celebration. Here's China Song. Kevin, I've read you saying that studying the Chinese language made you want to learn how to make your cello sing. What do you mean?
Well, you know, whenever there's a similarity in terms of studying music and language. There's so many studies on that. And what I realize is that, you know, music is a language. So is Chinese, obviously, is a language. And studying that language made me realize I want to be able to express myself in a certain way that's accessible to everybody. That when I'm playing, the structure is there, all the right grammar is there, so that it reaches a very, very wide range of people. So that's actually one of the things I'm trying to do with the cello in terms of singing through my cello. I want to do it in a way that's very, very accessible to everybody, yet it's still... is based upon my classical training. So the structure's still there, the infrastructure's still there, but I'm using it in a way that is accessible to everybody.
Well, we'll hear about what the Chinese thought of that. Kevin Alusla joins us today from Culver City, California, making a big splash with his cello, with his beatboxing, with his a cappella group, Pentatonix, won NBC's, the Sing-Off. And he's also out with Grammy-nominated Christian band Gunger. Here he is touring with them last year, an acoustic version of their song "When Death Dies." This is "Don't You Want to Stay?" Forgive me, I'll get that right. This is Kevin on YouTube. We'll come back to Gunger. Forgive me, Kevin, for misidentifying that. Listeners, you can join us. Are we hearing the future in the work of Kevin Alusla? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour with a young beatboxing cellist, Kevin Alusla, breakout prodigy fusing hip-hop and classical and more. I guess when it comes to talent, when it rains, it pours. Behind us right here is Kevin at 17. He's 23 now. When he was 17, playing the saxophone at Carnegie Hall for the NPR and PBS show From the Top, features young musicians. He saw Bill Clinton play saxophone back in the day and said, "I've got to do that." You can hear he didn't do too badly at it. We're hearing a lot more than that in this hour. I'm asking you, are we hearing the future in the music of Kevin Olusola? He joins us today from Culver City, California. And you can join us as well at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. All kinds of response online here. Kevin Cindy says, I'm 70 years old, love chamber music and classics, but this music brought a big, wide smile to my face. Thank you, Kevin. Chris says, the cello, we got sax now, but the cello, in my opinion, he writes, was already one of the most beautiful instruments. You just took it to a whole new level. Thanks, keep it going. And it just keeps going. Patrick says, it's refreshing to hear this type of creative music being created. And he's kind of saying to you, Kevin, I'm glad youth, maybe you, haven't been brainwashed by Nicki Minaj. Not everybody wants us to go the total pop Grammy path. Hey, but talk I mean, she's got her own creativity, but now you're out in L.A. The next thing you know, you'll be, I don't know, dressing in spangled costumes and doing Nicki Minaj pop songs. What is that where you're headed?
Oh, I'm so ready for that. Yes, I want to dress up in those things and look so good.
You look so awesome.
Beautiful, man. Yes.
Hey, but you talk about getting music to a whole lot of people. Pop music does it, and I know you have an interest in it. Where's your compass headed?
You know, one of the things I'm doing right now is taking an online course through Berklee School of Music to learn about production, because I think for the things that I see myself doing in the future with the cello and making it accessible, I need to understand that. A lot of classical musicians I've met don't understand that part of it, and I also want to be a resource to them to bring them into this kind of thing that I want to create, and, you know, we can create together to show people, hey, you know, classical instruments, classical music is not dead, but we're going to try to package it in a way that you can understand it and kind of, you know, bridge the gap in a way.
Here's Elizabeth writes on Facebook, and she's listening to your version of Julio. Wow, I felt my eyes close immediately so I could listen better and was transported to a train traveling from north to south along the Appalachians. This is some powerful stuff. Let's hear Kevin Olusola. This is beatboxing Beethoven's Fifth. Talk about getting in the face of classical here, or dancing with it. This is from his appearance on the NPR and PBS show From the Top at Carnegie Hall. Kevin throwing down a beatbox version of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. Now, roll over, Beethoven. Roll right over. Marv in Sparta, Tennessee. Marv, thank you very much for calling. You're on the air, sir.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I guess I'm just an old-timer. Kevin really sounds nice and with the a cappella group, but it's nice in the moment. I could not take it for very long, though. I think the best thing I could say about it is that it is transient, because minutes after it's over, I will not be able to remember it.
So what, you're putting it up against, let's say, Beethoven's Fifth, the melodic part, which you can remember for a long time?
Well, I'll remember Beethoven, but all the nuances that they put in it, it to me is superfluous. It's Beethoven that's the real thing. This stuff is enjoyable for a moment, but I just wonder, because of this music, what will the children of today remember of this kind of music 5 to 10 years from now? I don't think anybody has a recorder-type memory that they can remember all these things that they're doing.
Marv, kudos for your honesty. Let's put it to Kevin. Kevin, what about it? There is an ephemeral improvised quality. Marv's longing for that, you know, sort of carved in granite classical tune that's never going to go away. What about it, Kevin?
I wonder, because I think, you know, first of all, thank you so much for that question. It's a question I've actually been mulling over. And, you know, I have a really good friend who is who used to be a really, really famous musician, and now he's a worship pastor. And I talked to him about the people he's worked with, you know, in the 70s, but people he talked to in the past about this kind of stuff. And he said, you know, these famous people actually realizing when they were doing their music, like I think Stevie Wonder, all those guys, I don't know if they thought this music was going to last forever. It's just music that they felt in their soul, and it's something that they absolutely loved. And, you know, people remember it now for a lifetime. I mean, it's one of those things that you hear everybody now, they say they get their inspiration from people like Michael Jackson, from Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles. But, you know, I don't think they were thinking the same thing, that this was going to be music forever. They didn't know. And so, you know, one of the things, we don't know. Some of the music that we're doing at Pentatonics, we don't know. We just know that what we're doing is we love it and people seem to appreciate it so far. And we're hoping that, you know, people continue appreciating it now. And, you know, and I hope it holds the test of time too.
Well, there's been a lot of improvisation that people have absolutely loved, but there's an interesting question that we've got there from Marv. You've got your cello still there. I think you broke your bow, if I saw correctly on the Skype here on that last song, but riff a little bit for us. You're a good plucker. Let's just do some plucking. What have you got for us?
So one of the things I'm trying to work on is understanding how to sing through my instrument. And so hopefully it'll come out without my bow. It come through.
Harder to do. You can maybe beatbox anyway, yeah.
Yeah, sure. No, but like, for example, you know, you hear a lot of people singing, and that's what I want to do. So one of the things I try to do is really bend into the instrument, like... If you can hear that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, a song that I really like is Ordinary People by John Legend. So I try to do that kind of thing. He goes, baby, it's like, girl, I'm in love with you. It's like, this ain't no honeymoon. So that kind of sound, you know, I try to widen the vibrato a little bit to get that pop-ish kind of sound to it. And just, yeah, and try to do riffs in a sense, so... So it kind of sounds like smooth jazz in a sense, I'm trying to listen to a lot of pop singers and understand how they do riffs. And one of the things I've seen is that it's a lot of it is based on pentatonic scales, like. So that's something I'm really trying to understand more and just listen to a lot of people and gain that knowledge. I think one of the things that I've seen, what I really appreciate, I've learned a lot from jazz musicians, especially Mark Sommer. And one of the things he taught me was that in order to learn the jazz language, it's not like classical music where you sit and read and practice. And it's really what you do is you listen and feel and listen to other people and transcribe. And so that's what I want to do. I listen to people like, you know, Jasmine Sullivan or JoJo or, you know, actually, a good friend of mine, her name is Tori Kelly, who I absolutely love. She's an amazing singer. And or Scott Hoing in my group. And I listen to their wrists and try to do those same things on the cello. I would show more, but my bow is gone.
Well, lucky it's radio. We've got a little more on tape. Let's listen here where your bow is not broken. And this is cello and that kind of synthesized beat. This is Kevin's experimenting with voices on that cello. Here's an instrumental version of Ride and Solo, Jason Derulo's Billboard Hot 100 hit. Kevin Alusala version of Ride and Solo from Jason Derulo. Mario in Lake Champlain, New York. Thanks for calling, Mario. You're on the air with Kevin.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Question for you. I was thinking what would be phenomenal. I've been a follower of random beatboxes on YouTube for a long time. And the first classical beatboxer I ever ran across was a guy named Greg Pillow, and he's a beatboxing flutist.
Okay, definitely.
So I think you should put up the first ever beatboxing cellist against beatboxing flutist, you know, throwdown.
That's beatboxing really flutist throwdown, it sounds like some kind of oxymoron, but we know it's not.
I mean, I would rather collaborate with him than throw down with him, because I think we need more collaboration than competition in this music world now. So, but thank you, I do appreciate that. He's amazing musician, somebody I really look up to.
Hey, you're gonna be in the world that touches up against hip hop. You may have to be ready to compete a little bit. You may have to be ready to throw down a little bit.
That's true. I should get prepared.
I'm listening to you lean into so much that's in that pop realm. Here, the cello kind of brought you up. Do you still love it, or is it a kind of Are you trying to fly off in some real pop direction and cello cannot go there with you? Or are we hearing it go there with you?
I think it could definitely go there, actually. I mean, two of the people I really, really, really admire. I know many, many people don't like their music, but I love it. And I think Kenny G and Carlos Santana, they're incredible, incredible musicians. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, their music's kind of smooth and stuff. They don't see
the complexity. You're going to lose your passport to Carnegie Hall if you keep talking like that.
Oh, forgive me. No, but what I mean to say is I think their music transcends. It really speaks to the heart. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about their music. It speaks to me in a way that it just works. And that's what I want to do. I want to speak to people's hearts through my instrument as I play.
What do we hear when we hear your heart speaking? You've got a very interesting family story. Your dad, I think your parents are both immigrants. Your father, a Nigerian doctor, psychiatrist. Your mother from Grenada. When we hear Kevin Alusola let loose all that bow and string and beatbox, what are we hearing? What's in your heart?
You know, my father and my mother did so much for me. I went to Nigeria the summer before my senior year. And one of the things, I saw where my dad grew up. It's actually in a shack, a one-bedroom apartment. Mm. And I was like, wow. Wow. I honestly said, wow, because I didn't know he came from that to become the psychiatrist.
How old were you?
It was the summer before my senior year of college. I'm sorry. So, I was 21 and he always told me, you know, Kevin, you see me coming from this and now becoming this doctor in the United States of America, one of the richest countries. That's why I've always told you, Kevin, do the absolute best that you can and be the absolute best that you can be. You know, you might not be there now, but you know, continuously study, continuously work hard, and continuously, explore. Because I think that's what got me to where I am, and I want you to have the same fulfillment in life that I have.
Were they happy or dismayed when you began to bring beatboxing into this musical career that they must have spent a lot of time investing, you know, in your training?
No, my dad actually completely could not. He couldn't tolerate it when I first started doing it. He just like, what are you doing? So, right? And then when I was with the Yorkies, my a cappella group at Phillips Academy Andover, and we did our first kind of independent release album, and he said, oh my goodness, this is not what I thought it was. This could be a talent, not actually just some ka 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 noise that you're doing. And then when I finally put up Julio, he said, oh, I get it. And then when I did Pentatonix, goes, oh, now I get it. Yeah. This can make, yeah. So
the father gets it. The father gets it.
Definitely.
We're talking with the wonderful Kevin Alusola. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Caroline in Nashville, Tennessee. Caroline, thanks for calling. You're on the air with Kevin Alusola.
I'm at work right now, and a bunch of us walk around our kitchen all the time singing the NPR theme song. And we were just wondering if we could get Kevin maybe to do any version he wants to of it. You know, maybe the bum, 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 maybe ad-libs.
Oh, boy. Now you're going to put the man on the spot. The bum, 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 bum.
I mean, we walk around all the time singing it with our mouths. So I was wondering what you
do. Oh, man, you're on the spot, Kevin.
Well, I'll
NPR
try. I don't know I'm not sure about the theme song, but I think it's...
Bum, 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 bum.
So, something like that, maybe.
Oh, yeah, something just like that. The NPR Nation is all just dissolving in some kind of happiness. Caroline, are you satisfied?
Oh, yeah, totally. It's great. We're going to walk around work now doing that all day.
All right. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Caroline. You're good. You're a good sport, Kevin. What's next?
Oh, what's next for you,
career-wise?
Well, right now, Pentatonix is putting out an EP that it's going to be soon, and we're really excited for the tracks on it. And then me, I'm working on an original for cello and beatboxing, and I'm going to be working with some really interesting musicians. Eric Whitaker, for example, he actually tweeted my video, and then since then we've been been talking about a collaboration that we want to do. So I'm really excited for that. So stay tuned for that. And, you know, just learning and playing with a lot of people and just trying to expand myself more on the instrument and,
you know, doing the best I can.
There in L.A., you must feel that big world all around you. I mean, it's one thing to have a kind of goal in music, but to get there, it's something else, isn't it?
Yeah, it's – well, I don't know if I've fully arrived, but, you know, because I always feel like there's so much more I can learn and so much more that I can do better in. But, you know, I'm really happy to get to this stage in my life, especially since, you know, while I was at Yale, I was East Asian Studies and pre-med. And so I never thought that music could be a possibility for me. And now I'm just so excited to do the arts and put my whole self into it. So, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Kevin Alusala, it's been really fun and a privilege to have you with us today. We wish you all the best in the world. Keep creating in every which way, every which direction, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Listeners, you can see Kevin performing at our website, Julio, and with the Pentatonix and riffing on Michael Jackson's Smooth Criminal. We'll go out with Kevin Alusala and Antoinette Costa. This is their Void of a Legend, original song by singer-songwriter Antoinette Costa, and our cello beatboxer, Kevin Alusala. Reached number 5 on the iTunes Classical Chart. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.